For that man. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. Good to be saved. Amen. Amen. Good to be in church. Take your Bibles and turn us to the book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. You will find a very familiar story there that I'm sure you've heard. It's a story even the world knows about. I'm sure they don't know the real truth behind it, but they know a little bit about it. This is about the battle between David and Goliath. The world uses it as even illustrations today, you know. You watch sports and they'll say David's playing Goliath and stuff like that, amen. But yeah. Thank God for the story here, and I pray to God to use it to speak to our hearts this morning. Amen. I will say again, Happy Father's Day, amen. Thank God for our Heavenly Father most of all. We sure would be nothing without Him. And the more we can be like Him, the better off we all going to be. He set the bar, amen. He is the example, amen. Thank God He's our Savior. He comes to live inside of us. And if we'd give Him our lives, there's no telling what God could do with you. I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done. God will use you and do great things with you if you'll let Him. God's still looking for some good men. 1 Samuel chapter 17, amen. If you found your place, stand in honor of God's word if you're able. Look down to verse number 4. The Philistines are on one side of the mountain according to verse 3. And Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. Between these two mountain peaks, there's a valley where the fight took place between the Philistines and the children of Israel. The Bible said in verse 4, what's the first word there? Amen. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. I would say he looked about like Travis, but he probably had a little more weight, probably just a height thing, you know?
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all see Travis when he walked by just a minute ago, Ronnie Wayne walked by him and running a little bit like that. I couldn't help but to laugh, amen. Goliath was a huge man. And David was a little ruddy like Ronnie Wayne, amen. Verse 5.
Amen.
Hey, if you can put David and yourself in the same sentence, that is a great thing, amen. Bible said in verse number 5, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. I mean, when he stepped out in that valley between those two mountains, they knew a man had showed up. A giant. Goliath by name. And decked out in all his armor and brass and his helmet. I mean, you see that great figure showing up down in there and dust coming out behind him. Bible said that the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. Excuse me. And his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him, like he needed somebody in front of him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. I mean, you got the Philistines on this side, the children of Israel on this side. They meeting down in that middle and they fighting every day. And every day Goliath would come out and said, hey, choose you somebody and we'll just go one-on-one and we'll fix this thing and settle it. No need in having all these people die, man. I'll just come down. He goes down and he makes the charge, you know. Look what he says here. Come out. He said, he stood and cried and said, why you set the battle in array? He said, am I a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants? But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Instead of everybody fighting, see who's going to win, just one-on-one, and we'll settle the thing, and we'll serve one or the other. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. I mean, like something to just get down in somebody's craw, especially an Israelite, amen, that served God and knew who the true God was, for him to come out there and say, I defy the armies of the living God. This day, this day I defy your army, I defy your God. Don't you think somebody would step up and say, well, somebody got to shut that man up?
Yeah,
that's enough of that, man. You ever get around the world and somebody just speak up against your God and something down to get down in your car and you just want you want to get up and snatch somebody every once in a while?
Amen.
I mean, if you're any kind of man, something ought to be down in your car somehow to light you up, you know?
Yep.
We got a bunch of, well, I don't know what we got nowadays, amen?
Yep.
You can't fire them up, amen? Mm-hmm. Look what he said. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. That kind of like somebody going out and burning an American flag. You an American.
Yeah.
Stomping down on our army and military, you know, and that kind of stuff. God help. He said this, look, give me a man. You got any of them over there? Give me one of them.
Yeah.
He said, give me a man. I'm a man. Bring your man. We'll settle this thing, amen.
Yeah.
That we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. God help. Brother Ted, would you pray for us this morning?
Dear Lord Jesus, help us. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for us waking us up, Lord. And we must keep us out here worshiping this morning, Lord Jesus. I pray you forgive us for our sins, Lord. Let us hear your word, Lord, and use it and live by it, Lord. Please bless everything that goes on here this morning, Lord Jesus. The same thing we're doing tomorrow, Lord. And we're preaching the word, Lord Jesus. Pray everybody get something out of it. Pray that your will be done, Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Brother Miller, how about turning lands on a minute, please? You don't mind? Stir it up a little bit. It's real cold when we got here this morning, but it didn't take much hot air to change the thing around here, did it? Amen. I'm going to call your attention to verse number 10. I'll give you the title. I'm going to preach on this thought, A Man Among Men.
Yeah.
A Man Among Men. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. This is where we get our thought. Give me a man. Give me a man. Do you know that's the charge that the devil's had all down through history is give me a man? The devil's always stood up to fight against God's man. I mean, God cut a man in the garden and put him over to a man of men, amen. He was a man that, you know, named the animals and put everything out there. And the devil said, give me a man. God said, there he is. He's over there in my garden. Go over there and try him on for size. And amen, he went out there and fought, and guess what he did? He kind of gave a little uppercut to the man, kind of knocked him out of the garden and kind of destroyed him a little bit.
Yeah.
But God's always had a man to step up, amen. Hey, he defeated Adam over there. He said, give me a man. He said, well, I got a man over there and all the wickedness in the world and all the thoughts and imaginations of people are wicked, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He said, I got a man, go in and try him on for sight.
Yep.
See what you can do with him. See if you can get him to go the way of the rest of the world. And Noah stood up there, a preacher of righteousness, and built it all like a man, had some grit in his craw, and delivered this world from complete destruction altogether.
Yep.
It'd have been nobody saved if Noah wouldn't have got in there.
Yep.
And his family said, well, he didn't get nobody saved but his family. But if it weren't for that, there'd have been nothing left.
Right.
You know, he kind of gave him up a cut over there and got drunk, kind of messed up a little thing over there. And he said, give me another man. And you go down through history and God's raising up men. He said, what about Abraham? Go ahead and try him on for side. Yeah, I know his background, where he's from, but he's going in the right direction now. He's seeking a city that I made. He's seeking something beyond this old world. And Abraham stepped out by faith and went on for the Lord. And the devil kind of gave him a little uppercut. It goes back and forth. Hey, you remember when he goes over to the book of Job? He said, the devil showed up over there in the third heaven. He said, had thou considered my servant Job?
Yep.
Try him on for size, amen. Hey, try him on. He said, well, you got a hedge about him. Drop the hedge. We'll see what he's all made of. And Job went back and forth with the devil, amen. God said, here's a man. Try him out, amen. Go down through history and God's raising up men, amen, all through the Old Testament, all through the patriarchs, all through the prophets, amen. Hey, God's raising up men, going back and forth, and the devil's crying, hey, give me a man, try him on for my side.
Yep.
All through history, God's raised up a man. Oh, but 2,000 years ago, God sent the man. I mean a man among men, amen. Hey, the man Christ Jesus. Hey, the centurion said when he died on the cross, he said, truly this man was the Son of God, amen. Had never been a man like that, amen. And he triumphed it over the devil. And God had a man to defeat the devil, amen.
Yep.
Down through history, God's been saving men ever since. You go to the Apostle Paul, what a man he was. A stone shipwrecked, had grit and crawl, amen, and go forward for the Lord. He was a man among men. I think about the history and through the history of mankind and God raising up men all through ages. I mean, even since the death of Jesus Christ to this present age, all the men of God that stood up with a Bible and grit in their crawl and God in their heart and said, we're going to serve the Lord like our forefathers that come over to America to try to worship God in spirit and in truth, had some grit in their crawl. Said, hey, God said, I'll take a man and I'll do great things with him if he'll put his faith in me.
Amen.
You think about even men in your life and people that you've known that God's raised up, hey, good daddies that were men. Remember those kind of men, amen, that would raise their family in the house of God and serve God with a switch and a belt and do whatever they had to do to raise some true men that had some grit, amen. Hey, give me a man, amen.
Yep.
You know what the problem is? Where are they gone?
Yeah.
Where are those kind of men at today? Look in Psalms chapter number 12. Hold your place in 1 Samuel 17. We'll preach from here. Psalms chapter number 12. Where are those kind of men gone? I mean, the psalmist David, he's over here in Psalms 12, and he's got this prayer to the Lord. Amen. What a prayer. We need to pray this prayer all over again. Hey, you know what we need today? We need some men. It's Father's Day, but where are the men at? Amen. Hey, anybody can birth a youngin'. Where's some men at? Where are the men? Where are the men? Amen. Hey, not just a daddy, but a father. Somebody got some grit. Amen. Somebody to do it right. The Bible said in Psalms 12, the Bible said this. Here's David's prayer. Help, Lord. What you need help for, David? What you calling on me for? He said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Look at verse 2. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. He said, David said, David's prayer was, where are the men gone? Hey, God's, where are the men? God, help us. We need some men. The godly men. See, you ever seen such wickedness in people today? Where's the godliness? The godly man sees it. There's no godliness. People just live like hell and claim it to be God. Hey, where are the men that'll live for God? That'll take a Bible in their arm and a love of God in their heart and serve the Lord, amen. Hey, the godly man sees it. They stop. They're not going forward. And wickedness is running rampant in our age among our men. Where are the men that are godly? Where are the men that are faithful? He said the faithful fail from among the children of men. Where's the dependability in men? I mean, you've got wickedness and not and you cannot depend on them, amen. There's no faithfulness in their lives. These are the kind of men we're raising. We're raising men of wickedness. We're raising men of no dependability in them. And we're raising men that the Bible calls in 1 Corinthians 6, effeminate.
Yep.
Limp wrist, if you will. You know, break it down to our kind of age and terms, amen, and some other words we can use. They're effeminate. Look in verse 2. They speak vanity, every man with his neighbor. You know what I think about vanity and speaking flattering lips and a double heart do they speak? They got flattering lips and a tongue that speaketh proud things. That's what women do. Yeah. Women. I'm not throwing off on women as Father's Day. Let me just preach to the men real hard. Miss Lynette's cutting her eyes at me real hard. That ain't us. Yeah, it is you. Get right, amen. Women have a tendency to, you know, chatter, you know. That's what they're known for. You know, real men, they weren't known for chatter. They known for actions.
Yeah.
Anybody can talk with flattering lips. I think about a woman when I talk about flattery lips.
Yeah.
That's running out of that mouth, amen. Listen, women, I'm just trying to get the men, trying to get you some good men to go home with today. Hey, where are the men? Amen. They're effeminate, amen. They got flattering tongues. All they do is run their mouth, but they don't never do a thing.
Amen.
They're limp wrist. They're weak, amen. They're what you would call a sissy.
Yeah.
Hey, there was a day when we had men, amen, and we had women. There was a difference between the two. It's not a gray area in God's way, I say. There's a man and a woman. Hey, where are the godly men gone, amen.
Amen.
If wickedness has not got them and they're unfaithful, amen, they're effeminate, where are the godly men? Help, Lord, for some godly men are what we need.
Amen.
The world still needs some godly men, not an effeminate generation, amen. Look back in 1 Samuel 17 with me. Goliath said, give me a man. Give me somebody to fight, amen. Do you know what the Lord said about this man David that God raises up? Look back to chapter 12. Before you ever get to the fight with Goliath, you know what the Lord said about David? Look at this. We need some men that'll pick up a Bible and go serve the Lord. You can look down if you like to, look back later, but at Psalms 12, and he's talking about help, Lord, for the godly men ceases, the faithful fail, for among the children of men, they speak vanity every man with his neighbor. You get down to verse 6 and 7, you got the prophecy of the word of God. For the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace here. He's talking about this King James Bible that we got today. You know what a godly man will do? A godly man will put a Bible under his arm, but he'll put it in his heart, he'll put it in his mind, and he'll go for it and follow the Lord and serve the Lord with God in his heart and some grit in his crawl. That's what we need. It's a man to say, hey, I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to live wicked. I'm not going to be effeminate. I'm going to be a man with God in my heart, and I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
How many men you know like that? Amen. You've known some men like that. But in this day and age we're living in, it's like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Where are the men at? Where are the men that set the path for us today? The Bible said in 1 Samuel, look in verse number 12, chapter 12, excuse me. Look in verse 6. 1 Samuel. Oh, 1 Samuel 13, excuse me, I'm sorry. Verse 14. The world thought they had a man when they got Saul. A man made after, you know, their liking. A man that they thought was a man. You know, because the Bible said he was heads above all the others in stature. He's a big man. I mean, when they looked at Saul, they thought, boy, he's the one, ain't he? I mean, look how tall he is, amen. Look at what kind of image he's putting forth, amen. But you know what the problem was with Saul? He didn't have in his heart what God was looking for. He might have that outward physique and people might thought, boy, he's a man, but he wasn't no man. He was a man-made man is what he was. But the Bible said that the problem was with Saul, you know, he couldn't wait on God. He couldn't follow the Lord's direction. He had his own idea of how this thing ought to work. Sound like a lot of men do today. They got their own idea of how it ought to work. They didn't got their own image of what they think it ought to be like, and they're going to do things without God. That's not a real man. A real man serves it God's way. And the Bible said that God rejected him. Now look in verse number 14, 1 Samuel 13. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a what? Not people. God said, I sought me a man. Look, he sought a man after his own heart. And the Lord have commanded him to be captain over his people because he have not kept that, because thou has not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Do you know what God did with David? He picked a man. God's, you know what I'd say today? God's still looking for men. He's still looking for men. Amen. It was the charge or the question asked by Goliath. Hey, give me a man. But I want to say, God says, give me a man today. Give me a man that'll serve me. Give me a man that's got his heart after me. Hey, give me a man that wants God and God first. Amen. You know what Goliath asked, and God said, I got one. He's one after my own heart. He's one I'll give you. You want a man? Here he comes. Amen. I've been raising him up for a long time. I've been getting ready for such an hour as this. You know what God wants to do with us men? He wants to raise up a man for such an hour as this, for such an age as this, where the Laodicean age and the limp wrist and they're not faithful, amen, and they're wicked. God wants somebody to take a Bible and say, I'll serve God and let God churn in his heart and make him something great and use him to fight the forces of hell. Amen. Where are the men at? Goliath said, give me a man. God said, I got one. I got one. You want to meet him? He's David. He's a man after my own heart. I sought him out. I chose him as one of mine. And he chose me. And I'm going to make him great. And I'm going to use him to fight the forces of hell. Goliath said, give me one. And God said, I got one. Number one, I got one that'll face his fears. You want one? You want a man, Goliath? Are you surely that's what you want? You sure you want to fight something, amen? He's a man that'll face his fear. He's what I call a courageous man. A courageous man. Hey, look in Joshua chapter 1. Hold your place here in Samuel. He's a man that'll face his fears. Let me show you a couple of verses here. Joshua chapter number 1. He's a man of courage. Where are the men of courage? Amen. Right before Judges, right? Joshua chapter number 1. He said, give me a man. God said, I got one. One that'll face his fears. Amen. He's a man of courageous. He's a man that's courageous. Joshua chapter number 1. Look in verse number 6. You see this command throughout the Word of God in the Old Testament especially. God said it about Moses, but then he said it about Joshua. In Joshua chapter number 1. Look in verse 6. You got it? I ain't got it. Amen. Here we go. Chapter 1, verse number 6. The Bible says, here's what God said. Be strong and of good what?
Courage.
Courage. You know, as God's speaking to Joshua here, and God said the same thing to Moses, but I believe the Word of God's inspired of God, don't you? I believe God's still speaking it to men today. Be strong and of good courage. You know what our men need? They need a good exhortation or maybe a good tongue lash, you know, maybe a good conviction of the Holy Ghost that'll raise something down in their crawl to say, you know what, I'm tired of being that kind of man. I want to be the right kind of man. I don't want to be a Saul. I don't want to be a one that blends in with the world. I want to be one that's different. You know what we need? We need some men that are men among men. Amen. Look what he said. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God had a charge. God had a job for Joshua to do. Hey, God's got a charge and God's got a job for us to do. Amen. And it's to go forward for the Lord and raise a family right and stay faithful to God and be a witness in this world and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you got to be strong and you got to be courageous in the Lord. Amen. You got to be willing to face your fears. Amen. It's going to get hard. He said in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whether thou goest. You know what he says? He said, I'm charging you, son. He said, be courageous, be strong. Hey, take that Bible, that word of God that God gave to Moses and he gave to you. Hey, that Bible you got in your hands, more than just a little old book. Amen. It's a charge, command from God. And it'll guide your life. It'll direct your life. It'll get you away from wickedness. It'll get you away from being unfaithful. It'll keep you from being unfeminine. Amen. That Bible will change your life if you'll let it. Amen. Hey, where's men with a Bible? Amen. Where are we at today? He said, be courageous, son. He said in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Observe to do what's written in the book. He said in verse 8, for this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Where's the men that love the Word of God? You'll never be the man you ought to be until you fall in love with this book. You'll never be the man. I'll say it again. You'll never be the right kind of man until you fall in love with this book. You got men in here today. You know what your problem is? You ain't in love with this book.
Come on.
This thing don't direct and guide your life. You direct and guide your life. Can I remind you when God said, I sought a man after my own heart, which was David, that would observe his commandments. You know why he chose him? Because he had the world, had a man that didn't wait on God, that wouldn't go by God's book, that had his own ideas, that had his own ambitions, amen, and wouldn't put God first in his life. You know what's wrong with some of you men? God ain't first in your life. And God says, give me a man. Goliath says, give me a man. And God can't find one to give him. He's searching, but he can't find none.
Yeah.
They're not courageous. They don't have the love of God in their heart. They don't have a Bible that guides their lives and directs their every step. You direct your own step if you think that's being a man. You think because you call the shots, you a man. You a fool is what you are.
Yeah.
To go against God's direction and God's way. Hey, that's a man that'll humble himself and face his fears and follow the Word of God. Amen.
Right.
Look what he says here to this man. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. When's the last time you picked it up? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. When's the last time you observed it and done what it said? For then shalt thou make thy ways prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Where are the men at that are courageous? Where are the men that'll take a Bible? He said, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Here's Goliath. Give me a man. I said, I got one. And he sends him up there. Look back in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. He's a man that fits the mold of Joshua chapter number 1. He's a man that had God's word in his heart. He's a man that obeyed the ways of God and sat there and done what God told him to do. And he was willing to face his fears. Proverbs said this in Proverbs 29:25. He said, the fear of man bringeth the snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. You know what David was? David was a man that faced his fears. David was a man where all else were running from the world and running from Goliath when he went out to defy the armies of the living God. And he stood forth every day and he said the same words and cried out the same things. Everybody ran and hid. But there come a boy one day had been down there tending to the sheep of his father, been about his father's business, doing what God had told him to do. And God was nurturing in his heart and churning in his heart and making him the man that he needed to be. So when there come a day to fight Goliath, he'd be ready. And that's what God wants to do with you young boys right here. Put the word of God in your heart. Put some grit in your crawl. Not be a sissy. Be a man that'll lead a home, that'll do what's right. God's still looking for men. We need some men that'll take the mantle and lead this generation in the right way. The world's pushing this effeminate thing down their throat and raising a bunch of sissies. And we need some men to take the mantle and say, I'm going to raise a man by the grace of God that's going to serve the Lord. Amen. Whatever happened to being wrong with being a man or being a woman? Nothing wrong with that. Is that wrong with a lady being a lady? Hey, raise your little girls to be little girls. Amen. And raise your little boys to be grow up to be men. That's what we ought to be doing. But we got it all blended. You can't tell the difference in them anymore. That's not God's plan. That's not God's desire. And the devil saying, give me a man. We can't even find one. Amen. A man that faces fears. He's courageous. He's been nurtured up by the Lord. He's been in the Word of God. God's been turning in his life. You know what he did? You know what this man did? He said, I got a man. You want him? Who is he? He's David, the son of Ephrathite, of Bethlehem, Judea. His father's Jesse. He's been out there tending to the sheep, and his father said, hey, son, go down there and check out what's going on in the battle. Because all his older brothers went, and he stayed back home to tend the sheep to do what his father had him to do. That's what a man does. He just does what his father's told him to do. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about it. Don't matter what anybody looks down on it or thinks it's good or bad. He's just about the father's business. That's all David was. And he was a man that went forth by the command of his father. And he went down there. Look in verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning. His father said, go down and check on your brothers. And he left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. Do you know what you see about David here, a man that faces fears? He's been out there tending to his sheep, being about his father's business. And his father said, go down there and check on your brothers. Go see how the war's going. Go see how the battle's going. Just go check it out. And the Bible said, early in the morning he rose up. Where's a man that'll rise up early? Go forward for the Lord, like a man does, you know. Give a God this day's good work. And when he told him to go down there and go check on your brother, he had been tending the sheep, but you know what he did before he went down there to check on his brother? He made sure the job that he was doing was taken care of while he was gone.
Yeah, amen.
That's what a man will do. Yeah. He'll take care of his responsibilities. He won't leave it behind and say, well, whatever happens, happens. He lines it up, gets it in order, amen. And then he goes forward to do what the Lord, his father has told him to do. So he left them there. And he went as Jesse commanded him. And you say, you know what the problem is we got today? We got a bunch of boys that think they're men that can't listen to the instructions of their own father.
Amen.
That's disrespect.
Yeah.
You know what we got? You know, we had to flip it around a little bit. We got some fathers that won't even tell their boys how to do right.
Yeah.
Right? Come on now. We ain't got enough grit to be a man to say, hey, go down. He said his father commanded him, go down there and check on your brother. He didn't ask him if he wanted to go. He didn't ask him what he thought about it. His father said, go check on your brother and go do it. Amen. If your father says do it, if you're going to grow up and be a good man yourself, hey, be a good boy and say, oh, yes, sir, daddy, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. And won't back talk his daddy and go forward and do the work. That's what a man does. You know what you show him when you back talk your father and got disrespect? You ain't grown up yourself. You're still a young punk is what you are.
Yep.
Give me some men that'll listen to the command of the father.
Yep.
He's going forward by what his father said. Goes down to the check it on. Make sure his job was taken care of. And he went forward. Bible said, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fighting and the shout for the battle. He got right there when they was getting ready to fight that day. In Israel and the Philistines put the battle in array, army against army, just like they had done every day. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. Here he is, right there what his father said to do. He heard the cry of the battle, but he's not running. He's not afraid. He's going forward, amen. He's going right where his father said to do. And the Bible said in verse 23, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of Israel, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. What were the same words? Verse number 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of the living of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Every day went forth the same command. Every day said it, they ran and hid and waited for him to go back. And then they went back to fighting the others. This day a man had showed up. This day God said that God had heard the cry of the devil long enough and said, I got one that'll face his fears, that'll listen to his father, that'll obey the command of his father, that'll take care of his duties, that'll come forward. And David heard it, and when he heard it, something turned. It wasn't like the rest of those guys. How you know that? Look at the Bible says. When he heard it, what did he do? Look at the Bible says in verse number 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up? And it shall be that the man that killeth him, the king shall enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine, this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Here's a man among men. Here's a man that while others are running, he stands forth. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. David said, what? Y'all gonna sit back and listen to this guy talk about our God like that? You gonna sit back and run when this man's running his mouth? You know what David said? He didn't see how big he was. He saw how big his God was. Hey, David was a man that stood while others ran. Hey, you know what God's looking for today? Some men that'll face their fears while the world's running, that'll still stand for and say, I love this Bible. I love my God. I love my country. I'm gonna stand forth for God and not gonna let the world deter me. Amen.
Yes, sir.
There's a many of them running today. They're cowards and they're running away from what's right. And nobody will stand up. And David said, where are you going, boys? He's defying my God. He faced his fears while others ran. You know what a lot of men are doing? They're going stream like the rest of the world.
Yep.
We're letting the world influence how we serve God. And we're fearful to stand forward. And that fear of man bringeth a snare. We have no courageousness in our hearts. You know, we got a lot of men that are run by their wives.
Yeah.
They call them hen-picked, right? Hen-pecked. See, Jacob knew what they were. I thought they were picked, but they pecked. You find one that's pecked, and you can find out. They can tell you what it's all about. Amen.
Amen.
They won't face their fears. They won't stand up and say, like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joshua never asked Miss Joshua what she thought. You think we ought to serve the Lord? You think we ought to go back to church tonight? You think we ought to read our Bible? You think we ought to raise our children this way? He said, as for me and my house. I'm not talking about some kind of dictator. I'm talking about a man.
Yeah.
That'll just do what God's called him to do. That'll take his responsibility and say, that's my part in raising my family. And my wife will say, that's what my part in raising the family. There's no bickering against one another, thinking there's some kind of power struggle. We realize where God's put us in this thing, and we all got a part. When it all works in the right place, it all works right.
Amen.
And the world's trying to tear it all down, make it all gray, and everybody, no, it don't work like that, amen. Hey, God said, I got a man.
Yep.
That'll face his fears. That won't run while others are running. That'll stand forth and say, this is the way we're going to do it. Amen.
Yep.
He wasn't shaken by the ridicule. I mean, you know what he did when he stood forth? His brother, look in verse 28. Here's what his brothers did. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab, anger was kindled against David and said, why camest thou down hither? You know why? Because my father told me to. And with whom did I leave those few sheep in the wilderness? He left them in a person that could take care of them. He said, I know thy pride. No pride in David. He's just doing what the Father told him to do. And the naughtiness of thine heart, you don't know his heart. Your heart's wicked. You just think you know his heart. You know what his brothers are doing? They're ridiculing him because he wants to stand up. Hey, you go to be a man and stand up for what's right, everybody's going to ridicule you and run you down. What you going to do? You got to face your fears and do what's right anyhow. His own family is ridiculing. He said, I know thy pride, the naughtiness of thy heart, and thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. No, that's what you're doing is watching the battle. I didn't come down here to see, I come down here to fight.
Yeah.
You know what? In reality, David didn't really come to fight. The fight was brought to him, and David said, you know what? I'll fight if we got to. I'm not trying to stir it up. I'm just out here doing what God told me to do, following my father, if you will. Look what he said in verse 29, that great verse. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to stand up? Is there not a reason to fight?
Yep.
When it comes to facing your fears, you're going to have to stand against the ridicule. He wasn't shaken by the ridicule of his brother. He wasn't even shaken by the ridicule of Goliath later on. Look in verse number 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Verse 45, and then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You know what he was? He was a man that faced his fears. He stood up against the ridicule of his brothers. He stood up against the ridicule of Goliath. He wasn't shaken. He stood firm and said, hey, I'm here to obey my father. He's not a man stirring up trouble. He's a man that's willing to fight when it comes, though.
Amen.
You got a lot of people, all they do is stir up trouble. David wasn't trying to stir up no trouble. He's just trying to serve God like any good man ought to. And when fear came his way and the fight come his way, he was willing to stand up and face his fears. God, Goliath said, hey, give me a man. God said, I'll give you one that'll face his fears. He's courageous. He said, number two, I'll give you one that'll fight for what's right because he's committed. He's not only courageous, he's committed. He'll not only face his fears, but he'll fight for what's right.
Amen.
Didn't mean he wasn't afraid sometimes, but he's willing to trust God above it all. He was committed. You know what the psalmist said in Psalm 75, 37, verse 5? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He was a committed man. Where's the commitment at? You remember what he said? Remember what David prayed? Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. The faithful fail from among the children of men. They're effeminate. They talk vanity. Speak out of both sides of their mouth. All they do is talk and run their mouth. They're not courageous and they're surely not committed. Where's the commitment in God's people? Amen. Do you know the commitment in David didn't happen overnight? I mean, he didn't just show up to fight Goliath and he was committed to fight because of that one day. It'd been churning in his heart a long time. God been molding that boy to make him what he ought to be. You know what? In becoming a man and being the person God would have you to be and being a man among men, it ain't going to happen overnight. These little boys, they ain't going to become a man overnight, but it can be churned in them. It can be cultivated in them. It can grow up. You can plant that seed down in them. That things that are set down in there that you can keep watering and fertilizing, that God will bring an increase and make them the men they ought to be. This is what David was. He was a man that was willing to fight for what's right. Amen. Look in chapter 16 before he ever got over here with Goliath. If you look back to verse 13, we already saw that God had sought him a man after his own heart. The Bible said in chapter 17, look in verse 16, verse number 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, though who? Bethlehemite, that is cunning and plain and a mighty valiant man and a man of what? War. And prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Well, what a great statement to be said about a person. Saul over there has this evil spirit and they're seeking for a man to play on the harp. They said, I know a man. He's a man. He's a valiant man. He's a man of war. He's prudent in matters, a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Before David ever got to Goliath, amen, the Lord had already been with David, amen. David was a man that was willing to fight for what's right. He was committed to the ways of the Lord as a young child. He is committed to the ways of his father and been raised in the right kind of matter. Jesse had raised a man, amen, that was willing to stand up. It didn't happen overnight. It took time for his daddy to cultivate this kind of relationship and write a spirit in his heart. He was a fighting man. He'd been fighting a long time before he ever got to Goliath. Now look in verse 32, when he stood before Saul, and Saul asked him, how can he fight? And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Word got back to Saul that David said he'd fight. And David said, bring this boy and I need to talk. Saul said, bring this boy and I need to talk to him. And David said, hey, don't let your heart fear. I'll go fight him. I'll fight him. Nothing wrong. Look at verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. He thought David was but just a youth. Don't be deceived by that soft outward appearance. He's a great man in his heart. He'd be looking and think, well, he's soft. No, it ain't what it looks like. He's a man. Look what the Bible said in verse number 34. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. He said, and thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. He was a man that fought for what's right. He'd been fighting all his life. God had been raising him up for such an hour as this to fight against Goliath. Amen. He fought for what the Lord wanted. He wasn't carnal. You know what carnal people do? Carnal people fight against each other. That's what happened in verse 28. Remember when Eliab, his brother, came up there? He wants to fight David. David said, man, the fight's out there, and we want to fight amongst one another. Yep. You know what a bunch of carnal people do? They get in the church and just bicker and fight against one another. Well, I don't like the way he treated me. And that's what girls say, man. Well, I don't like the way he looked at me. Get some grit in your craw. That's what girls say.
Amen.
Well, they didn't like how I dressed. What does it matter? Be a man. Suck it up, man.
Yeah.
What have you been raising, man?
Yeah.
Little boys, get out there and just cry because somebody's... Come on, get some grit in your craw, son.
Amen.
It happens. It's got to be cultivated in them. It's got to be put in their heart, amen. Hey, get some grit, son. Yeah. Pull it up, amen. You can tough it out. That's not there's something wrong with man being emotional, being able to shed a tear. We don't have some emotions in the right manner. But you ought to have some grit also. There'll be a balance. There'll be a man about him. He was raised in that kind of matter. His daddy put him over that flock and he watched over those sheep. And when a bear came in, he said, my daddy told me to take care of these. And if I got to kill you to take care of them, I'll kill you. And he slew a lion and he slew a bear. And he'd been working in his heart. So when he stood before Goliath in that day to fight, when the devil said, give me a man, God said, I got one. He's been trained up for this day.
Yep.
He's been raised up for this purpose.
Yep.
He's a man among men. We're the men among men. That a fight that's not carnal and fight against one another. He was a prepared man. In verse number 40, the Bible said he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You know what Saul does? Saul tries to arm him with his own armor. And David said, I haven't proved it. That's not the kind of stuff I've used in my life. I've been using a sling. I've been using the things that were natural that God had given me. Amen. I've been down by the brook. Amen. Been down by that river of water, that Bible. Amen. Been down there with stuff that I know that'll work. It's proved. Have you ever proved this Bible in your life? Where are some men that's proved this book that has helped their lives? That when they come up against a battle, they took this Bible by face value and believed God, and God done something and gave them victory. Where are those kind of men? You know, those kind of great missionaries out on the mission field that live by this book and trust God to bring in millions and build orphan homes and see sinners saved and build churches and start works. You know what? They proved this book and said, God, you said you're going to do it and I'm trusting you. That's what David did. David said, I got some stuff I proved. I've been with God.
Yep.
I know what it's like to walk with God. Where's a man in here that's even put God to the test even once in their life? We have everything handed to us. We never had to have no faith. We never had to fight. No wonder we got a generation we got. David said, I got something. He was prepared. He went down there by that brook. He got five smooth stones. He was ready for Goliath. When he only used one to kill him, what did he have five for? Because Goliath had some family. Amen. They said that Goliath had four brothers that from incest from his own mother. What a wicked man he was. Amen. There's a lot of wickedness going on. Amen. Those four brothers, those four illegitimate children that he had, amen, that was out of incest of his own mother, they might show up to fight too. David was prepared. He said, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm ready. Are you prepared? Amen. He was prepared. You know what he's prepared brought it for him? It brought it forth a performance in his life. And what a performance it was in verse 47 through verse 49. When he went forward, amen, with his spear, with his sling and slung a rock, amen. God smote the Philistine in the forehead, amen, and knocked him down on his face. And God wrought a victory through David, amen. Why? Because he was prepared, and prepared led to his performance. And he prevailed against the Philistine. He smote him, amen, and took his own sword out and chopped his head off and grabbed it by the neck of the hair and walked into the city with his head. What a man.
Yeah.
And he slung that rock out there when Goliath came running at him, and God smote him right between the eyes with it, smote him down on his head. David went over there and stepped up on top of him, boys, and grabbed his spear out of his own sheath and chopped his head off. And then reached down and grabbed the nap of his head and walked into the city with blood dripping. Mm-hmm. Said, you want some of this? Who's next? He was a man.
Amen.
Where's that kind of stuff at? Yeah. Some of you go fishing and your girlfriend has to put the worm on your hook. God help.
Yeah.
Lord help. He prevailed. His preparedness led to his performance, which led to him prevailing. You know what his prevailing did? It provoked others to fight. I mean, you read the story down through verse 52 and 53. You know what happens when they saw David? All the rest of them went for him and started fighting. Here's a bunch of men hiding, and one man, a man among men, stepped out of this big old girly, gruesome looking figure he was, and smote him down. And when the other people saw it, they said, what a victory. And they got up their swords and went forth, started slaying the Philistines. Do you know what? God might take one man in here to step up and no tell him what God will do. God took 11 men over there and turned the world upside down in the early book of Acts. By 12 men with God in their heart, which motivated others, and the 120, and it started spreading like wildfire. Why? Because somebody said, I'll be a man.
Yep. Amen.
You tell them what God might do in your family if you'll step up and do what's right. Fight for what's right. Provoke the others. The devil said, give me a man. He said, I got one. He's courageous. He'll face his fears. I got one. He's committed. He'll fight for what's right. He said, I got one. Number three, he's confident. He has faith in God. David wasn't confident in himself. He was confident in the Lord. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He said, is there not a cause? Hebrews said in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Where are the men that's got faith in God? Let us stand up. You know what David said? Look what David said. Look in verse number 35. When he stood before Saul and he said, hey, how are you going to fight this man? You're a man of ruddy. We've already read the verse, but look in verse 35 again. He said, and I went out after him. When that lion and that bear come into the camp to try to get my sheep that I was watching, he said, I went out after him and smote him and delivered. You see that? Delivered it out of his mouth. You know what David said when he stood before Goliath? My God's been good to me. He said, how are you going to fight that guy? He said, let me tell you what God did back there. You got any battles you can look back and say, let me tell you what God did back there? You get in a little valley of depression. Sometimes we get beat down on ourselves. You know what it's a good time to look back? Not look back at our faults and failures. He says, forget those things and press forward those which are good. But you know what it's hard to look back? To look back every once in a while and say, boy, you remember when God came through back then?
Yes, sir.
You remember when we didn't have nothing? You remember when we went dead up to our head and above our head and God came through? You remember those days? You remember when our marriage was on rocks and about to bust up? You remember that? And then God put us back together. Look at the love we got today. You remember how youngers were doing this and now God's starting to pull them back in? Hey, can you look back and say, look what God has done.
Amen.
He's a man that had faith in God. Amen. He was confident in his God. He believed that he was, and that he was a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yes,
that's the kind of men we need. He had faith in the past. And when he stood before him, he said, that's what he did back then. And he said, I don't only got faith in the past, I got faith for the future. You got faith for the future? Look in verse 37. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me, that past, I got faith in him back then, out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. He was a man of faith. He was a man that did not forget what God had done in the past in his life. Have you forgot how good God been to you? Listen to me. Some of you that are living like hell right now and you're saved. You got no business living like that. You remember where you were before God came out and snatched you out of hell? You remember that day that Holy Ghost conviction was on you and you were miserable and you cried out and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and God saved your soul. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. And you ought to look back and say, why should I be serving him the way I'm serving now for how good he was to me back then? Think about that a little while. He said, I got faith in him back then. I know what he did. But he said, you know what? I know what he'll do when I get out on that battle. I got faith in what he can do in the future. He not only had past faith, he had future faith, but David had some now faith. You've heard me preach on that before. You know what he has? He has something that'll help him right now. It's one thing to say, boy, he was good back then, and boy, he's coming back to get us in the rapture, but what about today? What about today? David had now faith. When it got out to the day of the battle and Goliath was there and he stood before Saul and said, God done this back then and God's going to get him when I get out there. Now he's out there. Now what you going to do? Yeah, God done it back then and you're glad about what he's going to do today, and in church you're fired up today. But what are you going to do when it breaks out tomorrow? When tomorrow becomes the present and here it is. Are you going to have now faith? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hey, you need something right now in your life. Goliath's breathing down his neck and coming at him in full force. And verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel whom thou hast defied. You know what he said? Verse 46, this day. Right now, this day, I stood over there and told Saul what he done back then, and I told him what he's going to do, but now's the day, this day, will God deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass, the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. You know what he had? He had now faith. We got some people around here, you sit around and you gloat about what God done back then. Glory be to God, gloat on it, because God's been good, ain't he? Yeah. And we think about what he's going to do tomorrow, when he's going to deliver us from this old present evil world and come back to get us, and thank God he's going to do it. But what about right now? Where are the men among men to say, you know what, he's been good and he's going to be good, but he is good. Yeah. This day he can do it. This day, you know what he can do? He can save your soul from hell this day. That God that was good back then is going to be good in the future. This day, he can get you out of that simple state and reclaim you in the right kind of manner you ought to be living. This day, he can do it. There ain't nothing wrong with God. Where's the men among men that are courageous, that are committed, that are confident in what God can do? Where's our faith in God? God can do great things out of ordinary men. When you read about David over in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11 in the great hall of faith and the great men that God used, oh, what great things God done with those men. God puts David in a list of men in the end. He describes them one by one all through the book of Hebrews, and he describes the great things that they done. You know, and then he gets to the end in verse number 32 and 33 near the end of the chapter over there. And he talks about Gideon and what he had done, and Barak and what he had done, and Samson and what he had done, and Jephthah. And he's going through those men in the book of Judges. He's leading up to Samuel. And he said, David and Samuel. He said, these were men, ordinary men that done great things. That's what they were. Do you know what Gideon was? He's just a poor man that God made a conqueror. That's what he did with him. You know what Barak was? He was that man that had to have a woman to push him. But he led the battle against Caesarea and the Canaanites. Who was Samson? He was a man of a family that was, nobody knew who his family was. He wasn't a great royalty family that he came from. He was a child from an unlikely family that God used mightily. Samson, what a man he was to deliver Israel from many Philistines. You think about Jephthah as you go on through the book of Judges. You know what he was? He was just an outcast son of a harlot. That's what he was, a son of a harlot. You got a poor man that God done great things with. You got one that was pushed by a woman to do something great. You got a child from an unlikely family, didn't come out of any royalty, and God raised him up and done something great. You got this outcast son of a harlot. Hey, you come from a broken family, nothing good in it, and God used him to fight against odds and do great things. You think about David. The Bible said he was the least of his brothers. When they lined him up to go and see who they're going to anoint to be king, they said, well, yeah, we got one left. He's over there tending to the sheep. He's the least of his brother, and God used him to deliver the children of Israel. David, one of the greatest types in your Bible of Christ. And all he was the least of his brethren. What about Samuel? Samuel, you know what Samuel was? He's a mama's boy. A mama's boy. He's one his mama made that coat, you know, done good for him, brought him something down there, gave him to the temple, gave him to the Lord, prayed that God would give him a boy. God gave her a boy, and she gave him to the Lord all the days of her life. A mama's boy. You know what the Bible said about, you know what the Bible said about Samuel? That he served the Lord all the days of his life. You talking about something great. You talking about something the Lord can do. Out of ordinary people, God can make men a man among men. Amen. God made a man among men. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Do you know what? God's still looking for men today. He's still looking for men to stand up against the forces of hell. When the devil comes forth and says, hey, give me a man. He said, try Adam. Try Moses. Try Job. Try Abraham. Try the apostles, you know. Try Paul. Try John and Matthew and Mark and Luke, you know. Try out old Spurgeon. Try Whitfield, you know. Try these guys out. Try some of the great preachers that you've known in your life, and they were men. You know what they were? That devil, God said, here, try him on. And you look down through history that men that have been an influence in your life that God raised up with grit in their crawl, and God used them until God took them home. And here we are in the Laodicean age, and God says, hey, the devil says, give me a man. And God's looking. And he's looking out across Hopewell this morning.
Yeah.
Kind of like he said over in Ezekiel. And the Bible said, I sought for a man among them. He sought. Remember he said about David, I sought a man with my own heart. And God said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me that I should not destroy the land. And you know what he said in Ezekiel 22:30? And I found none. God's looking for men. God's looking for a man among men. Will you be one? You give your life to the Lord? Commit it to Him. Say, here I am, God, whatever you want. Take my life and use it. A man that'll take his Bible and courage and commitment and confidence in God. Goliath said, give me a man. God said, I got one. He got more than he wanted. He got more than he bargained for. Do you know what? Wouldn't it be good when the dust settles and it's all over and said and done, and we stand before the Lord? Maybe the Lord can look at the devil and said, you got more than you bargained for in this one, didn't you? You wanted a man. Well, he turned out to be one, didn't he? David turned out to be one. Why can't you turn out to be one? Why not? Some of those men that's been instrumental in your life, that guided you in the way you are today, why can't you be one to guide somebody behind you?
Yeah.
What a great Father's Day to make commitment and say, you know what, it's time I grow up and be a man. It's about time I put away childish things and start serving the Lord. Be a man. Not one that blends in. Not one that's undependable, you know. That's wicked and feminine. A man with God that'll make a difference. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.